Would you open your Bibles with me today to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. That's page 536 in the Bibles in the seats. Acts chapter 11, page 536. Today we're halfway through a sermon series at TCC about the church in the city of Antioch. Antioch is one of the first churches. It gets established here in Acts chapter 11. And in our series together, we've been highlighting some of the characteristics of that church in Antioch. Characteristics really that every church should have. What should our church, what type of church should we be? TCC Antioch shows us. Antioch is a Jesus-y church, meaning that the most important characteristic of this church in Antioch is that it believes in and belongs to Jesus. The good news, the gospel of Jesus, that he died on a cross for sinners, that he rose back to life to give us eternal life with God. That gospel is of first importance in the church in Antioch. It's a Jesus-y church. And Antioch is a welcoming church. Other people matter to this church. Other people matter. They're noticing people. They're inviting people. They're loving people. Because God has welcomed them through Jesus, then this church now welcomes others in the same way that Jesus has welcomed them. It's a welcoming church. And this morning, we're going to see another characteristic of the church in Antioch, one that should be a characteristic of every church. The church in Antioch is a giving church. A giving church. Our text today is Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. From these verses, we're going to see that the people in Antioch, the people in the church in Antioch, they give willingly, they give generously, and they give intentionally. Let's read our text, Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Acts chapter 11 ends with the church in Antioch learning that there is a famine that's coming. There's a man, a prophet, he gets a name, Agabus. Agabus comes to the city of Antioch and he stands up and he speaks. And the text tells us he speaks by the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So this tells us that God, it's really God who has given Agabus a message for his people here. And the message is a great famine is coming and it's going to happen over all the world. People are going to be hungry. Some are going to starve. And it appears that this famine is going to directly affect the church in the city of Jerusalem. This church in the city of Jerusalem, that's like the original church, really. That's where the first church really was established. After Jesus died on a cross, after he rose from the dead, after Jesus ascended into heaven, it's in Jerusalem that those who knew Jesus, those who believed in and belonged to Jesus, they first begin to assemble, they first begin to gather as the first church in Jerusalem. Well, now, that church in Jerusalem is about to suffer. That church in Jerusalem is about to be in need. That church in Jerusalem is about to have not enough. Agabus stands up and says, famine is coming. And look what the church in Antioch does when they hear about the need. Look at verse 29 again. The disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. That's the region in which Jerusalem is located. Jerusalem's a city. Judea is the region that it's in. They send relief. Or more plainly, we might say, they take up an offering. They gather a collection of money and they send it. They give it to Barnabas and Saul. Those two men are in the city of Antioch. They give it to Barnabas and Saul to deliver to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Antioch gives. And specifically in this text, friends, it's financial. It's money. It's a monetary gift. They're handing over their cash or they're opening their Venmo apps or I don't know how they're doing it in the first century, but they're giving money. Now we recognize this morning, We recognize that giving doesn't only always mean money. People in a church give in so many other ways. They give their time, they give their energy, they give their skills to serve and to encourage and to lead in the church. All of that is giving, but financial giving, giving our money, it should be a characteristic of the church and its members too. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening in the church in Antioch. They give. And even more, the way they give. the attitude, like the disposition, the spirit in which they give, it matters. So that's what we'll see today. How did the church in Antioch give? Three observations. First is the church gives willingly. The church gives willingly. Notice what doesn't happen in this scene. It did strike me this week, or really the first time I reread and I realized this, but Agabus, our dude Agabus, he doesn't actually even ask for money. Now, he might have, but the text doesn't tell us. He doesn't come and say, a famine is coming. Now, would you please contribute to those who are affected? I've set up a GoFundMe page. Could you go here? He doesn't say any of it. He doesn't ask for money. In the text, Agabus, all he's doing is making an announcement, right? A famine is coming. And even more than that, notice Agabus doesn't say, hey, a famine has already come and kind of decimated the church in Jerusalem. They're in need right now. Actually, the famine hasn't happened yet. There will be one. But Agabus, he's not saying, hey, there's a need right now. And yet, what happens? The church immediately mobilizes. The church immediately mobilizes. Verse 29 tells us that the disciples, that's the people in the church, the Christians in the church at Antioch, the disciples, they determined to give. They determined. It's like they already had it settled in their hearts. They would give. They were willing to give, even without being asked. They were willing before there was a real need. They were willing to give even when it doesn't really seem like there's going to be an advantage to them to give. They didn't pause. Their hearts were already leaning in the direction of being open-handed. Do you see it? The church gives willingly, which tells us that these are selfless people, right? These people in the church of Antioch are selfless. The immediate willingness of these Antioch Christians shows us they're more concerned with others than they are with themselves. It's like their default is to let go of what they have. That's the posture of a church that gives willingly. Do I give to the church willingly? To God and to His church willingly? Or do I give eventually? Do I give mostly when I feel guilty about not giving? Yeah. Do I give begrudgingly or hesitantly? Do I give while I'm all the while thinking, well, what's in it for me? And church, does our church, TCC, collectively, do we give willingly? Is the heart of our church always leaning in the direction of being open-handed? Saul, who's one of the guys who was chosen to deliver this offering to Jerusalem, he's going to write to another church years later. This is part of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, Saul wrote it, each one, he's writing to another church, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. The church in Antioch gives willingly. And the church gives generously. The church gives generously. Verse 29 again. So the disciples determined every one according to his ability. Every one. So the idea that I sense from this text is that the gifts are not coming from just a segment of the church. It's just not the most wealthy or those who had some to spare at the end of the month. The text says everyone according to his ability, which means no, not everyone gave the same amount, but they all gave. One paraphrase puts it this way. They all gave whatever they could. Whatever they could. The church was willing, meaning that they were like ready to give. And they were generous, meaning they were ready to give gladly, abundantly, more than was asked, more than was whatever they could. Maybe think of it this way. The church in Antioch didn't ask, how much is this going to cost? The church in Antioch asked, how much can I contribute? How much can I give? I think there's just like this infectious, like, hey, let's do this. There's this mindset among them that like there's going to be a joy in participating in what God is doing in and through His church. Let's do it. I told someone lately that I think washing dishes might be my favorite household chore. I don't think you have to have one of those at all. They can all be your least favorites. But if I had to pick one, maybe washing dish. Any other dishwasher? I'm not going to come. Okay, good. Pressure and I, go wash dishes. You don't have to have a favorite, but I think washing dishes might be mine. I mean, I'm willing to do it. I don't mind to do it. If there's a sink full of dishes, I might even volunteer to wash them. That's okay. But I'm not like, I can't wait till lunch is done so I can wash those dishes, right? Like, I'm not volunteering to wash all y'all's dishes. It is a chore. I'm willing, but there's, it's not a joy for me to wash dishes, right? But that's sometimes how I view, I think that's sometimes how maybe we view giving, isn't it? We might be willing to give, but is giving a chore? Not in the church in Antioch. It doesn't really seem to be. Instead, they're gathering up whatever they could. Everyone contributing as they're able. They're joyfully engaging in the work of God for His glory. They're giving whatever they could. Now, a starting place for giving could be really helpful for many of us. A starting place. That's where the concept of a tithe can be useful, friends. A tithe, that word literally means one-tenth. A tithe is one-tenth. One-tenth. It's a biblical principle. It's established in the Old Testament. And though Christians today, we're not like bound by a tithe requirement, that can be a really good place. It could just be a biblically informed place to start giving. A tenth of what I receive, I return to God and to His church. A tithe. A starting place. But listen, a generous church doesn't say, how little can I give? But rather, how much? How much? I think that's an indication that I might not be, or that maybe we might not be a generous giver. If you're asking, what amount would be just enough? But instead, could we ask, how much can I contribute? It's a joy to participate in what God is doing in and through His church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which I just read, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Some of you may know that verse ends with the phrase, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, a generous giver. The church in Antioch gives willingly. They give generously. And third, the church gives intentionally. Intentionally. Again, verses 29, and let's go ahead and read 30 again. The disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This particular giving had a distinct purpose. They knew these funds are going to go accomplish something good for God and His people. They gave with this, I sense this fervency about it. We need to give this money. This money is necessary. God is going to use it. They gave intentionally. Twice in this text, twice in these two verses, we read the word send. Do you see it there? It says they determined to send. And it says they sent it, or sending it by the hand of. So send. They're not, listen, this may not be helpful. This may be just kind of weird for me to say, but it's helped my mindset. They're not spending money. They're sending money. They're not spending money. They're sending money. Spending money, I do that all the time. I spend money on Disney Plus, you know, and Goldfish crackers, and so many Goldfish crackers, gas in my minivan. I spend money all the time. But sending money, somehow that's different, right? It feels different. Sending money, it's like that money is going somewhere with a goal. That money's going somewhere with a purpose. There's a reason. There's an intention. God's going to use that money. The church in Antioch, they're not spending money. They're sending it. They're not just writing checks, mindlessly writing checks. No, they know this cause is worthwhile. This matters. They're sending money, but they know, I love this too, the text says, they're sending, what are they actually sending? What does the text say? Relief. It doesn't say they're sending dollars and cents. They're sending relief. Listen, their dollars, their actual money, God is transforming their money into actual hope. Isn't that crazy? They're sending relief. They have a sending mindset. They give intentionally. Did you know that when you give to the church, and I can only talk about Tradewind, but when you give to TCC, your gifts, we pray, are used intentionally. Intentionally. Every gift that's given to TCC, we pray that God would transform it to be used for His purposes. Every penny. Which ultimately, His purposes are to provide eternal relief. Spiritual relief through the gospel of Jesus, through the good news of Jesus. Our gifts are used intentionally to support families in our community, in our school. Your gifts are used here. They allow us this place to gather week in and week out to proclaim the gospel. Your gifts are used to teach and encourage our kids and our students. They buy Bibles. They pay for food. They support your gifts. A portion of your gifts are used to support other gospel-centered organizations in our city who are doing good work that our church just doesn't have the resources to do. We send resources so that that can happen. Did you know our church is part of a statewide network of churches that provides, that supports God's purposes throughout Texas? And we're connected. Little TCC is connected to one of the largest church starting organizations in the world, the International Mission Board. And so when you give here, a portion of what you give will be sent across the globe so that other people who you may never know until you get to heaven may know about Jesus. Give intentionally. We don't spend our money. We send our money. We send our money. We give intentionally. Which also means that we all should be intending to give. We give intentionally, but we should intend to give. Not sporadically, not sometimes, but we can give faithfully. We can give regularly. We can give every time because we know that every time we give, God is ready to use whatever you give for His purposes. We're sending it to be used for His eternal kingdom purposes. The church in Antioch is a giving church. It's like giving became part of their reputation. Oh, that's a giving church right there. Which, when you think about it, when you think about the church at Antioch, that just really, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense. I don't know if this young church in Antioch had a finance committee. Probably not, maybe. But if they did, can you just hear some of the discussion that might have been happening? Agabus comes and he makes this announcement and the finance committee's like, all right, let's see what we can do. They could have said, should we really send that much money to people we really don't know? I mean, Jerusalem's 300 miles away. The discussion could have been, hey guys, what if the famine comes here? He said it's happening all over the world. What happens when it affects us? Shouldn't we save some back? They could have had that discussion. And they could have said, how about we just see what's left over at the end of the month and we'll send the spare. They could have had... All of those are reasonable, sensible, logical conversations, but they're conversations that this church apparently doesn't have, or they get voted down. Why not ignore the need? Why not just wait? Why not just give a little more cautiously or a little more reasonably? Why would this church so willingly, so generously, so intentionally give? Because that's exactly the way that God has given to them. They give like Jesus gave. What Jesus did for the people in the church at Antioch and what Jesus has done for us, friends, it doesn't make any sense either. It doesn't make any sense. When we were in our sin, when we were, because of our great sin against God, when we deserve eternal death, though our sin against God puts us in the greatest need, our souls in our sin are suffering real and spiritual famine. When we're spiritually starving to death because of our sin against God, and we deserve to, the good news, the gospel is that when we were in such need, Jesus, He willingly, He generously, He intentionally gave everything. Everything. Jesus left heaven and became human. The Bible in Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus made Himself nothing, or He emptied Himself. The divine Jesus took a body and then He suffered. Jesus died on a cross. He took on Himself our sin and the judgment that our sin deserves in our place for our sins. Jesus gave everything, His entire self, depleted, bankrupted for sinners. And He didn't hesitate. He didn't hold back anything. He wasn't stingy. Jesus chose to give relief to His brothers and sisters in sin. Jesus gave. Listen, the heart of Jesus leans always in the direction of being open-handed in love for sinners. Jesus gave. Saul, he also wrote years later to the church in Ephesus. I like this word. He said, God has lavished the riches of His love on us. Lavished. He lavished His love. He gave so much it doesn't make sense. We sang a little bit of it earlier about the gift. What gift of grace is Jesus? Part of that song comes from an ancient prayer in a book called The Valley of Vision. And there's a line in that prayer book that says, in Jesus, God, You hast given me so much that heaven can give no more. That's it. Jesus is all. heaven can give no more. Jesus gave everything, and he gave everything with a purpose. He gave everything with the sure, certain hope. He gave intentionally. He gave so that he might bring sinners from death to life. Jesus, who rose from the dead, Jesus, who is alive, resurrected now, he offers to give us new and eternal life with God. We read it in the most famous verse in the entire Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus gave. Have you received the gift of Jesus? Have you received have you believed in him? Have you gone from eternal death to eternal life? Do you know personally the joy and the peace and the love and just the steadiness that comes from belonging to Jesus? The goodness of Jesus? God in love has given us all we need in Jesus. And so when we receive the gift of Jesus, when we have experienced for ourselves how he selflessly, gladly, on purpose gave for us, then we become people who give like him. That's what happened in Antioch. In all of life, we give like him, including with our money. We surrender all to him who has given us all. There's a legend that during the Crusades were like a series of religious wars in the Middle Ages. And there's a legend that during the Crusades, there were some soldiers who would be baptized, but they would hold their sword above the water as they went down. They would be all the way immersed, but they would just keep their weapon held up over their head as if to say, yeah, I'm baptized. I want to believe in and belong to Jesus, but I can still fight and kill, right? Like, God, I want all of me to be for you, except just not this part. And does it seem, church, that many of us we'd like to be baptized, we'd like to believe in and belong to Jesus, but I kind of want to hold my wallet up in the air. God, you can have all of me, but just not this part. Oh, but instead, could we surrender all to the one who has given us all, who is all that we need? Could we be a giving church, TCC? I speak most directly to TCC members this morning. Now, could the church at Antioch challenge us this morning? Friends, if you're a member of this local church, what might you today commit to give? What would you just ask God about your money? Money is a taboo topic, not just in church life, but anywhere. We don't want to talk about money. It's weird. But listen, God knows. Like, just talk to him about it. Just talk to him about your money. Just have a chat with him about your finances. Would you surrender? Would you be willing to surrender your life, even your finances, to him? What might you give? And even more, what might God do with your gifts, with our gifts, church, collectively, TCC, given willingly and generously and intentionally for his purpose? Oh, let's be a giving church and pray that we might, please God, participate in his good purposes. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for being a giving God. Thank you that in our great need, our great spiritual need, our eternal need, that you weren't hesitant. You weren't stingy. You weren't like, God, you weren't wavering at all. It's you, Jesus, you saw our need and you gave everything. Thank you for lavishing your great love on us. Would you make us a church that gives for your glory, God? Oh, we surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.